Welcome back to Extra Innings on KNBR, the sports leader. My next guest is doing such a great job with the pitching staff. He is the number one pitching coach in my eyes in Major League Baseball. Let's bring in Andrew Bailey. How are you doing today, Andy?
Hey, Bill. Good. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate your time, and I appreciate what you've been doing with the pitching staff, and I want to commend you, JP Martinez, your assistant coach, as well as Brian Bannister, director of pitching, and putting a performance on for the first 74 games, doing outstanding. Tell us a little bit about the trifecta you guys have.
No, we appreciate that. I think it's a little bit of a unique approach. Obviously, first and foremost, the front office, and including Brian Bannister, does a great job of going out and bringing pitchers here to San Francisco that want to compete for the Giants, and we see some unique capabilities of them, and ultimately the players themselves going out and performing and doing what they need to do to get the job done. And in terms of a coaching staff, it's really unique. Myself, JP Martinez, and Brian Bannister, having Banny here at home for 81 games is such a treat. His knowledge of pitch design and the way the industry is going, myself, using my kind of experience in terms of playing and blending kind of the information and the data and the reports to everything. And then JP bringing in kind of the more traditional forward thinking coaching aspect. And he's been such a light on our coaching staff, just from what he's done with the Minnesota Twins for such a long time as their coordinator, and bring in unique ideas and experiences as well.
Well, Bales, I've had a great conversation with a few of your staff, DeSclafani, McGee, Littell, as the top three. And I asked them, when they were trying to ready to sign for San Francisco, what were some of the positive things? And every one of them said that the pitching staff, coaches, are trying to create the right environment for success. They communicate totally different than other coaches. And I tell you what, you and I both know, we've had many, many pitching coaches that don't talk to each other. They don't even converse with players. Why do you guys do that, and how does that communication help the whole pitching staff?
For sure. I think looking at pitchers as individuals is huge. I mean, they're people first, and you kind of have to understand how they like to learn, how they like feedback. Everyone's different. So I think if you have a system and process that's in place, kind of like a one-stop shop, I think that's great. Obviously each pitcher can kind of pick and choose, what he wants from that. And then from a coaching aspect, I think, all the way up the organization, we really don't have egos in terms of coaches. If Jake McGee has a better relationship and JP can kind of guide him the way we want that to happen, perfect. I think that's better for us and the organization, and at the end of the day creates more wins for the team. So there are no egos in terms of, we got to run things by certain people. It's kind of we're all on the same page. We all understand, what that pitcher is working on, what they should be doing. And then it's just going about and executing that said plan. So for us, it's just understanding, the relationships, building relationships with pitchers. That's as old as time. But really understanding, how they learn, what they like to do away from the field, how we can connect with them in a better way, and just establish those relationships. And the communication, for us as coaches, it's 24/7 and on the coaching side of things. And when we connect with players at the field or, via text, away from the field, whatever, we just make sure that it's coming from the right vessel. And sometimes that could be one of our analysts. Sometimes it could be Cap. There's a lot of different, vessels that we can use to, relay messages.
Well, let's go back with your career. You grew up in New Jersey. Was there a certain player, a pitcher, a team that you followed when you grew up?
Yeah, I mean, I was a Phillies fan growing up for sure. Okay. Obviously a fan of Curt Schilling and, watching the NL East growing up, I always loved when the Braves came to town because they had, Maddox, Schilling, I'm sorry, Maddox, Glavine, Smoltz, the whole nine. And so we would always go in there and watch those games growing up at Veterans Stadium.
You went to a small high school, Paul the Sixth High School in Handafield, New Jersey. Then you went on to Wagner College in Staten Island. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about Wagner College, because you were very successful there, and why did you go there?
Yeah, I mean, Wagner College was just the only Division I school that gave me the opportunity, really. I think, coming out of such a small high school, I just wanted a chance to play baseball in college. I didn't really care what school it was. Obviously, as a liberal arts school, there's a variety of degrees I could have gotten, and decided to go with the finance route. But in terms of baseball, I just wanted to play as a freshman. I didn't really think minor league baseball or, at that point in time, Major League Baseball was a reality for me, and just wanted to play 4 years of college baseball. And they said I would come on and play as a freshman, and that's kind of what drew me to them.
Well, you did extremely well. Your junior year, you were 3-2, 47 strikeouts in 41 innings. You got drafted by the Brewers, and you said in a statement that, I wanted to continue my schooling. I wanted to go back to school my senior year for business administration. You ended up getting your degree. Congratulations for that. Was that a mindset of yours? Was that talkative between your parents, or did you just want to just not get into professional baseball yet?
No, I mean, so a month before the draft that year, after my junior year, I had Tommy John surgery. So I only played about half the year, so I had a choice to make. I could either go and sign with the Brewers and forego rehab with them and miss a year of baseball anyway. But at that point in time, in my mind, I kind of went to college to get a degree and further my education, and didn't really think, Major League or minor league baseball was a reality. And obviously getting drafted was an unbelievable experience. But I think at the end of the day, being two semesters away from graduating and not being able to play baseball for a year, I wanted to finish my education and get my degree and see where I ended up, knowing that I could play a little bit my senior year, and that minor league baseball may or may not be waiting for me down the road. And so I went with that decision. That was just my mindset at that point in time. And, it worked out well. Got drafted by the A's after my senior year, and went and continued to play minor league baseball there.
You sure did. 2006, you were the sixth round draft pick to the Oakland A's, and you went through the system extremely well. In 2009, you broke camp out of spring training with a big club, and sure enough, you had one hell of a rookie season. Ended up being Rookie of the Year in 2009. 24 saves. It was just outstanding, that rookie year. Were you a little nervous going into that, being the closer? Was it something new you had to prove to yourself as well as your teammates?
No, yeah, thank you very much. That year was really special. I think going into my first Major League spring training camp as a non-roster invitee, I was taken aback by, all the names, that I was there in spring training with. And, making the team out of camp kind of as the last man in the bullpen, throwing two innings or one inning and kind of mop up duties. And I just put together a good little run and ended up, closing some games out for the A's that year and really kind of adapted to that new role. And I think as my first year as a reliever, I had been a starter historically. There was a lot of, nuances and things that I picked up along the way and routines I had to start building just to start creating that reliever mentality.
Andrew Bailey joining us on Extra Innings today. Right after that, 2009, you followed up with 2010, another great season, 25 saves, 1.47 earned run average. You made the American League All-Star team both in 2009, 2010, as well as, like I told you, the ALROY, which is the Rookie of the Year award. Those first 2 years, you were pretty settled in. You had a great role as the closer. Was your mindset knowing, hey, I'm going to be in there every time we have the lead in the ninth?
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I knew I put myself in a good spot for the team to rely on me when we needed to win games and get outs in big moments. And that's kind of all you really want as a pitcher, is to be able to help the team win games. And that's kind of the position I was in, and really settled into a great routine on and off the field. And obviously, kind of after those 2 years, kind of injuries started settling in. But living out in the Bay Area and playing for the A's was really just an unbelievable experience for me and my wife, and really enjoyed our time there. And I think on the field, the results were great, and, just kind of picked the ball up every time the phone rang, you know?
Yeah, I tell you what, you said it right. 2011, you had a right thumb surgery. Years after that, shoulder surgery, your labrum, and you're starting to come back here and there. You ended up with the Phillies, the Angels, the Yankees toward the end of your career. You finally retired. I want to get your thoughts because I believe you're an upcoming one of the best pitching coaches in what you've been doing the last 2 years with the Giants. Of course, I cover pitching immensely, analyze it, and you're doing a fantastic job. But what I want to ask you is you've had some great pitching coaches, Curt Young, Bob McClure, Larry Rothschild, Charles Nagy.
Yep.
Some of the things they taught you, some of the things you learned from them, does that help you today when you're out there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think us as people were all kind of a final product of different life experiences and kind of philosophies we live by. And in my pitching coaching career, just taking a little bit of each and every former pitching coach I've had and trying to blend them all together. And really, there is no secret sauce. I mean, I think the only way to get outs at the major league level is to throw strikes. So, obviously we value first pitch strikes and overall strike, percentage. And we want our guys to be in the zone. And it may be a little bit of a different school of thought nowadays because so many teams are chasing miss and chase and, different attributes. But when we can blend them all together to incorporate, movement profiles along with being in the zone and prioritizing strikes, I think it's such a great blend, and we've had success with that and understanding what pitchers do really well and repeating that as often as possible. So, I just think, taking little bits and pieces from Curt Young, Charles Nagy, like you said, mm-hmm. Rothschild, all these guys, it's Bob McClure. I mean, it's just been – there's so many great names I had the privilege to playing for and learning from. So just continuing to try and hone in my own craft and – understand who our guys are as individuals and help them in any way we can and letting them go out and compete to the best of their ability.
Well, a couple of things you said there I want to start to talk a little bit about, and that's talking about first pitch strikes. You guys are fantastic with that. When I look at the numbers for the 2021 Giants right now, number one in shutouts with 10, number one in saves with 27, complete games, a couple walks, 192, all number one in Major League Baseball. And that comes down to some of the things that the coaching staff teaches and some of the things you talk about. Gabe Kapler talks about first pitch strike. Everything walks works off of that. High velocity arms, more sliders, change up like Logan Webb developed in spring training. These are all things that every pitcher has to develop and everything you got eyes on. Are these some of the things that you guys started with way back when you started last year and started developing pitchers and then kind of developed them now? Because everything that you've been formulating as you're teaching this, it's working now because you can look at each individual pitcher on your staff and you can see all this stuff building. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, last year there were so many unknowns, but, from a pitching process standpoint, being in the zone is number one. And I think you see, that start coming to fruition this year with, the numbers these guys are posting up. And obviously hats off to them for going out and executing in game and putting those numbers up. First pitch strikes is so big. I mean, if you break down the evolution of a strikeout, you can't strike someone out without getting strike one, right? So, that's priority. And in there, you'll induce weak contact and, gain outs just by being in zone. So if, nowadays there's a lot of teams and pitchers that like strikeouts, obviously strikeouts, they don't put balls in play. Nothing bad can happen to the defensive team. So if you break down the strikeout, you got to start with strike one and we prioritize that. We prioritize being in zone and hats off to our guys, for buying into that philosophy and helping us blend in some of the other information and, data, obviously, that's available to us and, going out and competing.
A couple of things coming out of the conversations with a couple of your starters is they say they like watching when the pitchers throw on the side. Their starters throwing in that bullpen, they come down there and they watch and critique along and try to help them in different things. I never heard of this before. Is this something that you're blending so the starters kind of help each other through the game too?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important because, you know, obviously pitchers love talking baseball in the dugout, in the locker room, when they're lifting, working out. And it's just such a great environment for all of our pitchers to understand what each guy is really working on and who they are as individuals. So maybe they can help them in a different way. And we do like creating a great environment down there. We have a sign down there from a graffiti artist from Arizona, actually, is Club Bullpen. And, you know, we try and play music. We try and create just an upbeat environment for the guys. And that's such a valuable place to be of learning and getting your work done is an environment you want to be. And when you have your peers watching you and you have some music going and it's just a great, great environment, pretty low key and full of energy, and guys are able to get better down there and understand what we're working on and go out and execute.
Couple more questions with you, Andrew Bailey. I got to go back in your mindset here. Who was the hitters you couldn't get out and who were the hitters that you owned? So let's go to the hitters that you owned. I got a few of them that went 0-for-5 off of you. Any idea?
0-for-5.
0-for-5. Manny Machado. How about that one right off the bat? Jed Lowry, who you're going to see in an A's uniform today. Kevin Youkilis and Dexter Fowler. Those are good ones right there. So we're going to go 0-for-8. Any idea who went 0-for-8 for you?
No,
left-hander.
No idea.
Justin
Smoke. Okay. Yeah. Former forever Giant.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely right. I got a couple good ones here. 1-for-6 with a walk.
One for righty or lefty?
Right-hander. He sits on a bench with you.
No. Who's that?
Evan Longoria.
Okay, 1-for-6 with a walk. Okay.
Yeah, you got to get in his ear about that one.
For sure.
And then I got another one. Bobby Abreu was 1-for-6. Robinson Cano, 1-for-10. That was a good one there.
Oh, wow.
I was pretty surprised at that one. He was pretty good lefty-righty combo. So let's get to the guys that got you worse. How about 3-for-6 with a home run?
Left-handed. Oh, man. Shoof. 3-for-6. Johnny Damon?
Nick Swisher.
Nick
How about
Swisher.
That one?
Okay.
Yeah. So
right.
He had to have been, what, with the Yankees or maybe Oakland when he faced you?
Yeah.
And then
Yankees,
this one you'll probably guess. 4-for-8, 2 walks, played for Seattle.
4-for-8, 2 walks, played for Seattle. Cruz.
Suzuki,
okay.
Yeah. Do you remember facing him?
Yeah, of course I do. Absolutely.
How was he? How was he as a hitter? Was he very aggressive?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was pretty patient, but, you know, those types of situations, you know, I kind of threw out those tendencies a little bit just because kind of the unknown, you know. So, that's amazing. I had no idea about that one for sure.
Well, the last one, that's the worst one, of course. I always keep the last one. 6-for-8, 2 home runs, played with the Cubs.
Ben Zobrist.
Yeah, you got it. Why do pitchers always remember that?
Oh, man. Well, because he owned me. He did. He's the one,
I know.
The one guy that just owned me. So
Mine was Dale Murphy. Every time I go anywhere, they go, hey, Dale Murphy going to be in the Hall of Fame? I said, I'm sending him a thank you card if he gets in. So,
but
it's
funny.
Great. Mr. Bailey, thank you so much. And one other thing,
you
know, Alex Pavlich did such a great Father's Day story about your daughter and your family, and I just want to commend you and your wife on such a great thing for your daughter, Teddy Bailey. It was such a rewarding experience and a story, and I just want to congratulate you and your wife for hanging on and doing so much for her.
Thank you very much. That means a lot. Yeah, she's a total blessing. All three kids are, and some of the battles she's fought already, and you know, just almost, well, she's almost 9, but you know, she's just a little warrior, and blessed to be her father, and just an amazing little girl for sure.
Well, I tell you what, you got me very emotional that day, and I want to thank you for that. And I tell you what a great dad you are, and one hell of a pitching coach. Continued success, and thanks so much for joining us today.
No problem, Bill. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. That was Andrew Bailey, the pitching coach for the San Francisco Giants, and we'll be right back on Extra Innings on KNBR, the sports leader.